Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Happy Friday. I keep calling it Getaway Friday because there's a lot of people on the roads and at the airports today. Big travel week. Travel day is people taking all of next week off, obviously. It's not just your normal Friday. But yesterday, while we were covering the shooting in Annapolis, there was fireworks going off in the House of Representatives. And that was because Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray were sitting before the House committee that has oversight over them. And Jim Jordan, the congressman who does not own a suit jacket, and Trey Gowdy, who's now a short-timer growing a beard, they went after him. Gowdy and Jordan went after Rosenstein and Chris Wray in a very big way. And I want to bring it up for not the reasons that you might normally think. But let me play just a little sample of what was going on yesterday in this House hearing with first Congressman Trey Gowdy telling Rod Rosenstein to finish the hell up with the Russian investigation.
If you have evidence of wrongdoing by any member of the Trump campaign, present it to the damn grand jury. If you have evidence that this president acted inappropriately, present it to the American people. There's an old saying that justice delayed is justice denied. I think right now all of us are being denied. Whatever you got, finish it the hell up. Because this country is being torn apart.
So, and I understand why he said that. Because of the fact that, yes, this, and the answer, by the way, from Rosenstein was, we're working on it. That's as fast as we can. We're working on it. But I don't know if they are in the halls of justice there in Washington, D.C., if they really appreciate what is going on in this nation as far as we talked yesterday briefly, started down that path after the shooting news yesterday about all one-third of the country thinks we're heading toward a civil war. And I appreciate the fact that they want to do their investigation and they've got things to check off and they open the door to a whole new can of worms. And investigations don't have a perfectly nice, neat place to end. But they have to appreciate the fact that all of this is not a healthy attribute for our nation. So I agree with Trey Gowdy. And then Jim Jordan goes after Rosenstein as well, and they have this rather heated exchange.
Mr. Rosenstein, why are you keeping information from Congress?
Congressman, I am not keeping any information from Congress that it's appropriate.
In a few minutes, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the House of Representatives is going to say something different.
I don't agree with you, Congressman. I don't believe that's what they're going to say. And if they do, they'll be mistaken.
I disagree, but I think in a few minutes, the House of Representatives is going to go on record saying you haven't complied with requests. Why did you hide the fact that Peter Strzok and Judge Contreras were friends? Why did you redact that in the documents you gave to us? Judge Contreras is kind of important. FISA court judge, more importantly, just as importantly, the judge that heard Mike Flynn's case. Why did you try to hide that from us? It's redacted.
I am the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. Okay? I'm not the person doing the redacting. I'm responsible for responding to your concerns as I have. I have a team with me, sir. It's just a fraction of the team that's doing this work. And whenever you brought issues to my attention, I have taken appropriate steps to remedy them. So your statement that I'm personally keeping information from you, trying to conceal information.
You're the boss, Mr. Rosenstein.
That's correct. And my job is to make sure that we respond to your concerns. We have, sir. Now, I've appointed Mr. Lausch, who is managing that production. My understanding is it's actually going very well, sir. So I appreciate your concerns.
Again, I think the House of Representatives is going to say otherwise.
But your use of this to attack me personally.
Why did you?
It's not wrong.
I appreciate your service. It's not personal. We just want the information. Why did you tell Peter Strzok not to answer our questions yesterday? When I asked Peter Strzok if he'd ever communicated with Glenn Simpson, He gave us the answer he gave us dozens of times. On advice of FBI counsel, I can't answer that question. Why couldn't he answer that question?
Mr. Jordan, I appreciate your sincere concerns, but I didn't give Peter Strzok any instructions. If there was some problem with the instructions he had, I'll be happy to look into it.
Not what his left FBI lawyer said.
Mr. Jordan, when you find some problem with a production or with questions, it doesn't mean that I'm personally trying to conceal something from you. It means we're running an organization that's trying to follow the rules, and we're going to respond.
You know what was interesting? When I asked him if he'd ever talked to Bruce Orr, he said he had. Said he had three times in 2016 and 2017. Then I asked him, have you ever talked to Nellie Orr? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, well, why can you answer that question? Because Nellie Orr worked for Glenn Simpson, worked for Fusion. He could answer that question, but he couldn't answer, because FBI counsel told him he couldn't. He couldn't answer the question whether he'd ever communicated with Glenn Simpson, a journalist. Why couldn't he answer that question?
Mr. Jordan, I appreciate you saying it isn't personal. Sometimes it feels that way. How do I know, sir? I mean, you interviewed Mr. Strzok. I didn't, so I can't
answer. Works for that. You. Doesn't work for us.
There are 115,000 people who work for me, sir.
Mr. Rosenstein, did you threaten staffers on the House Intelligence Committee? Media reports indicate you did.
Media reports are mistaken.
Sometimes. But this is what they said. Having the nation's number one law enforcement officer threaten to subpoena your calls and emails is downright chilling. Did you threaten to subpoena their calls and emails?
No, sir, and there's no way to subpoena phone calls.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm reading what the press said.
Suggest that you not rely on what the press says, sir.
Well, now, who are we supposed to believe? Staff members who we've worked with, who've never misled us, or you guys, who we've caught hiding information from us, who tell a witness not to answer our questions? Who are we supposed to believe?
So that was how that day went. And so I thought it's all very interesting, and there's a lot of fireworks, and there's a lot of accusations, and Rosenstein and Jordan got pretty hot under the collar at moments during all of that. But I have, and I think the questions that Jim Jordan was asking were excellent, about, especially when Peter Strzok was before their committee earlier this week. And time after time after time, his lawyer told him not to answer the questions of the in the closed-door hearing. And his lawyer wasn't his private lawyer. His lawyer was the FBI's lawyer who told Peter Strzok, who is still an FBI agent, even though he was ushered out of the building a couple of weeks ago. He's still on the payroll. He just doesn't have access to the tools and the computers and things like that within the FBI building. But what was the FBI lawyer telling him not to answer questions for? So this whole thing stinks to high heavens. And they're both accusing each other of everything. And so they gave Rosenstein another deadline after this heated hearing yesterday about when they're supposed to turn over documents that the FBI says, hey, wait a minute, they are part of an ongoing criminal investigation, and we can't turn them over in the middle of a criminal investigation because it will be leaked, and then there goes our investigation down the drain. So I don't know what you think about Gowdy. I don't know what you think about Jim Jordan. I don't know what you think about Rosenstein, Christopher Wray. But the bottom line out of all of this was, after already passing a deadline of a week ago Friday, last Friday, 5 p.m., nothing happened. And then yesterday, I don't know how many times they have given them deadlines. And yesterday they said, okay, you have, I forget what it is, doesn't matter, 10 days or something like that, because that doesn't matter. Because every time they say, okay, you have a deadline of X and nothing happens, the whole thing is, to me, a sham. Nothing is going to come of this. I have reached that conclusion, just like the Inspector General's report. Oh, we're waiting for it. We're waiting for it. It's going to be out in May. May is going to be the day. Oh, yeah, when's it come? May. That's right. May came and went. Then June came along. Then we got into the middle of June. Finally, the Inspector General's report comes out and says, nope, there's nothing to see. No bias. I mean, there was bias, but it had no impact on any of the investigation. So there's nothing to see here. Move along. And I will go back to the Benghazi. Trey Gowdy ran the Benghazi hearing. Years. 4 years of Benghazi hearings. What happened? Was anybody called on the carpet? Was anybody brought to justice? No. Was anybody brought to justice on the Inspector General report? Maybe they are going to refer 4 or 5 FBI agents to the Office of Professional Conduct. They may get fined. They may lose some pay. They may get demoted. But I don't think anybody's going to jail. And I know there's the lock her up. I see your emails. I read your emails. I see your tweets. I read all of that. Some of you are so exercised about this, you can hardly wait for somebody to go to jail. Hillary, Rosenstein, somebody. And I'm sorry, I don't share your enthusiasm. I think you are drinking Kool-Aid. I don't think anything's going to happen. Do you? I appreciate Trey Gowdy trying to say to Rosenstein, hey, the country is in dire straits here, and a big chunk of it has to do with what you're working on. So can you kind of come to some conclusion? You've had a couple of years to do it. I don't think anything's going to come of this. Am I being naive? Or am I the realist in all of this? And all of this is theater as far as I'm concerned. This is just theater. So, do you think it's theater? Do you think anybody's going to go to jail? Do you think anybody's going to be held criminally or civilly responsible for any of these investigations that they're holding in the House and the Senate? What do you think? I'd like to hear your observations on this. Reality check. Phone number is 855-295-6600. We'll take a short break and be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So the Republicans in this House committee have been demanding that the Justice Department turn over documents that they have requested. And this demand has included a subpoena. And the story is that this is the first of several actions that they are threatening against Rosenstein, including possible censure and impeachment. Now, I have a bridge to sell you if you think that's going to happen. They're just making empty threats that will never, ever, ever see the light of day. So why are they doing all of this? What is going to come of this? 855-295-6600. Barry in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a little confused with this. The FBI, the Justice Department, they all work for the President of the United States.
Right.
You know, I managed in my career. When I had a troublemaker, I got rid of him. These people are absolute troublemakers. There's no doubt about it. Causing him problems, causing the country problems. Why isn't he getting up there and getting rid of these people and also demanding that all the paperwork, all the emails be completely given over to Congress, clean, without any, you know, cutting out of any part of it? I just don't get what's stopping Trump, who is their boss, from actually acting like a boss should be acting. What's the story here?
I don't know. Well, Christopher Wray, both of these guys, Rod Rosenstein, both of them appointed by Trump. So, sure. I mean, I'm sure you've hired people that you later fired, but so, I mean, he could. Politically, I don't know if his political little finger is in the breeze going, that won't look good if I fire them. I think
the American people would love it. I think and he can come out and he could say, look, I just want to get the government running smoothly. And obviously we're just not doing that.
Right.
And matter of fact, they're going against, they're obstructing justice is what they're really doing by not giving this paperwork and emails over to Congress. But I just want to straighten that out and get some guys in there that support them. I don't get it.
American people are behind them. Here is the thing. If you were a police officer and you were in the middle of an investigation and you had witness statements and you've been you got some evidence of this and some evidence of that, and you're forced to turn that over, and you know it's going to wind up in the daily newspapers tomorrow, you're basically throwing away your investigation at that point. You're now giving away all of your investigative techniques. So they're caught in this position of they don't want to hand over the documents and evidence that they have accumulated on somebody or somebody's before they actually have enough to go to a grand jury and get an indictment. And if they don't have enough to do that, how long are you going to keep digging your hole to China? I don't know. But why isn't the president calling these guys in and saying, just do it? I don't know why. I have no clue why.
I mean, a year and a half, my God, a year and a half. If they haven't come up with anything, forget it. This is ridiculous. It's such a waste. $20 million or more were already spent on that Mueller.
Add another 6 months. It started in June. The FBI opened the investigation in June of 2016. So we're now 2 years into this investigation. And forgive me, Barry, but I'm looking at all these investigations and all these hearings and all these threats and everything else. I'm going, nothing ever comes to fruition. Nothing.
Well, that's the point. It's that you have to know when to fold them, you know, when to hold them and when to fold them. It's time we fold these things up. They're getting in the way of our country and the democracy itself. And we have enough separation in this country, too many people with these very strong opinions. We don't need government being involved in it.
I agree. It's not healthy. It is not helping. It's not healthy for the state of the union. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But I just, for the life of me, I look at this and I go, nothing's going to happen to these guys. They can threaten them all day long. That's like the little pipsqueak that comes up and you say, do you know what I'm going to do to you? Nothing.
That's right. Unfortunately, you're right, which bothers me a lot, that you're absolutely right on the money.
Yeah, it bothers me, too. That's why I'm looking at this and going, I'm fed up with this. They're all a bunch of clowns in my book. But I don't know when this is going to come to an end, but I'm not holding my breath, let me put it that way. Hey, Barry, always good to talk to you. I appreciate the call. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes, I do. And happy Friday to you as we, a lot of people hitting the road going on a Independence Day vacation. 855-295-6600. There's our friend Pat in Virginia. Pat, how are you been? Happy Friday.
I've been doing great. I've been doing very good, Tom. Good. How about you?
Good. Same. Yes.
Let me just weigh in if I can on this. Because I think this whole conversation about Trey Gowdy and those guys yesterday, the caller from Fort Myers, I think he is a good indicator of what the issue is, what the problem is. He said, well, there's something wrong if you don't just fire. That's obstruction of justice, idiot. That's why Donald Trump won't just fire these guys.
Obstruction of justice depends upon the motive in what you're doing. So he could fire, he has the authority to fire both of those guys, but it would have to be under the proper motive, and that would be something that he would have to
create a motive. And Trey Gowdy, I saw the demonstration yesterday. In fact, I thought it was pretty pathetic. I thought, trust me, I thought it was the most aggressive effort by members of Congress, the Republican Party, to tear down two very important institutions in this country. And that's the way I saw it. I thought it was disgraceful.
Well, let me ask you something. I will ask you the question that I'll ask you the question that Barry asked. Why isn't President Trump calling these guys into his office? They work for him, and say, "Hey, get this thing solved pronto."
Because he's guilty as hell. He knows it. That's why he hadn't done it.
Well, if he's guilty as hell, then doesn't he want to get this thing wrapped up now before they have all the goods, before they finish their investigation?
No, I think they have the essential goods on it.
Well, then why don't they come forward? Why don't they bring it to a grand jury tomorrow? That's what I'm wondering.
Here's the deal. You notice what the way Trey phrased it? Gowdy, I believe it was.
Yeah.
He said, if you have some stuff that, you know, that can be indicted, take it to the grand jury. He didn't say it that nicely.
Right.
And he said then if you have something on the administration or his campaign officials, take it, doggone it, to the grand jury. Then he said if you have something on Trump himself, take it to the American people. That's exactly what he said. I pay attention to all the little stuff. And the reason he said... Now, what he didn't tell you, what they'd already taken a lot of stuff to the grand jury. How many indictments do they already have?
Let me read for you the transcript. Trey Gowdy said, we need to see the evidence. If you have evidence of wrongdoing by any member of the Trump campaign, present it to the damn grand jury. If you have evidence that this president has acted inappropriately, present it to the American people. So, well, I think what he's saying is the only way to go after a president is Congress has to impeach him. Yeah.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. But he should not suggest to the American public during one of these hearings that they have not gone to the grand jury with anything. What happened to Manafort? How did Manafort end up in jail? He's a campaign chairman.
Yeah.
Come on, Tom.
No. The other thing, don't forget about Trey Gowdy, is he has been a staunch supporter of Robert Mueller, saying he trusts Mueller, he believes he's doing a good job, he's an upstanding individual. A lot of Republicans don't like it when he says that, but Trey Gowdy has been consistently supportive of the prosecutor, because he was a prosecutor, I just look at this, Pat, and I look at this whole thing about, you know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to censure you. I'm going to impeach you. I'm going to do it. No, they're not. So I don't know what all this is about.
I'll tell you this. Here's what I do. I think I know what it's all about. Maybe I pay more attention to it than perhaps even you, and I doubt that. Because you're on top of stuff. You're the best in the business.
Thank you.
But I'm going to tell you this. They have the goods on Donald J. Trump. And Trey Gowdy knows it. And he's obstructing justice now by trying to shut down the investigation. And that's not right.
Well, if they have the goods, they should present it post-haste. Right away. No more waiting.
They got the indictments and grand jury. Ask Flynn. Ask Manafort if they've gotten some. They got guilty pleas, man. What is Trey talking
about? They got the guilty pleas.
He said for campaign officials.
Yes, but Manafort's accusations against him have nothing to do with the campaign. What it does is it ties him to the Russian oligarchs and the Ukraine former president and all of that. But that is, I think they're still having a hard time putting them together because they got him on bank fraud, they got him on money laundering, they got him on everything but a campaign violation. So unless they have those goods on him, I think this is all going nowhere. I really do.
I hope you're right, you know, but I think it needs to be settled.
Me too.
Without open intimidation of the Justice Department. Department and the FBI.
I agree with you. I do agree with you on that, Pat. So that's usually we find something to agree on. Pat, I do appreciate your call. Let me get David in here from Atherton, California. Hello, David. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, when you brought up the question, is something going to come of it? That's why I called, because I thought to myself, absolutely nothing is going to come of it. And nothing came of Whitewater. I don't think anything probably should have, but whatever. Certainly nothing came up with the IRS. I guess Lois Lerner resigned,
and she should have.
And I think that there was definitely some damage done to the Republican election in 2012 with the what the IRS did.
Well, then throw Benghazi on the pile, too. What happened after 4 years of Benghazi hearings? Nothing.
Nothing. Hillary's emails? Nothing.
Nothing. The Inspector General report? Yeah. Nothing to see. That's why I guess I'm being not very positive about all this. I'm just looking at all this and I'm thinking it's a lot of theater. It's a lot of trying to stir up everybody's base and point the finger to the other side. Whether there was something done wrong or not, I don't have the slightest clue. But these hearings, when Jim Jordan gets out there and threatens the Department of Justice and the Assistant Attorney General, it's a false threat. It's totally a false threat. He's not going to do anything.
It's totally false, and you're absolutely right about the theater aspect of it. I mean, I look at the Republicans with the repeal and replace Obamacare with all the votes when they knew Obama would veto it, although vote to repeal it. But when there was a chance, even the Republicans couldn't repeal it.
They did nothing. They did the same with the immigration.
Right.
They did the same with the immigration bill just 2 days ago. It had everything the president wanted in it, and they couldn't even pass it among a Republican-controlled House. So they're dysfunctional. They're toothless. I don't know if there's some game that we're missing here, but it all seems like it's not worth paying attention to it after a certain point where somebody just keeps saying, do you know what I'm going to do to you? And the answer is nothing. Well, then everybody will move along. Maybe that's the goal. Get as tired of it. But I'm tired. I'll tell you that. David, thank you. I appreciate your support on my idea that nothing's going to happen. Phone number is 855-295-6600. We'll take a short break. You can find the phone number also on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Sends me an email. You can find my email address on my website, TomSullivan.com. He says, Tom, I think you're very correct. Nothing is going to happen. The deep state is very busy protecting itself. I also agree with Gowdy. If there's some evidence of something or other, either present it to the grand jury or to the American people, but this so-called investigation has to end because it's tearing the country apart. Each side is blaming the other. However it is, the left that has become unhinged and violent, it has to end. Yeah, it's part of the tearing of the fabric. I agree on that a lot. I like Trey Gowdy. I think he's a pretty straight shooter, especially since we know that he's not running for anything. Doug in Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Doug.
Hi. I'm glad to hear you saying nothing's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what I believe. He won't like this, but I think Trey Gowdy is stalling, too. I believe they're playing for time, all of them. Maybe not Jordan. He looks pretty solid to me. I used to play poker and read people, and he seems to have the right attitude. But I don't know if they're playing for statute of limitations or a change of representatives the next election. But I was thinking the statute of limitations wouldn't apply here, and because the clock doesn't start ticking until somebody files a complaint or the crime should have been discovered.
Right, right. And
so that clock's not ticking right now. It's not ticking. They haven't discovered
it. No, for a lot of it. I mean, the bank fraud and the money laundering accusations against Manafort, those had a clock ticking, but they are well within the statute on that. The president, as far as him being in some sort of peril, there's no statute there. That's a political deal, not a criminal deal. So
yeah.
I don't know why it's still going. If they, I don't know how much longer it will go. I think it's having an adverse effect upon all of our lives in this country. I don't lose sleep at night about it. I don't think you do, Doug, but it's not helping in the conversation that we have with our fellow citizens. Just not.
You know, I want to ask you a question about the Sarah Sanders, Sarah Huckabee,
yeah,
and that nice lady from Resources and that Attorney General. Look, they weren't protesting. They were intimidating, trying to get them to change their attitude. And that's completely illegal. And I wonder, the people that turned in the phone numbers and the addresses of the ICE workers,
right,
that's intimidating a government employee.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then why are they not charged?
Well, they charged one guy. They have arrested the head of the security in the House or Senate Intelligence Committee. The guy's been there for 25, 30 years, and they busted him big time on the fact that he's giving out all of this information that is from the Intel Committee, which is all supposed to be, if not top secret, very close to it. So that, I don't know. It's hard to track these people down. Every administration fights it. Every administration goes through it. But they arrested a guy, what was that, 2 weeks ago? Something like that. So that sends a little bit of a notice to everybody to cool it as far as leaking information from the administration. So we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think anything will come of these hearings. But that's just my take on it. Doug, thank you very much. Mark in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Mark. Hello? Mark,
hey, Richmond. Tom.
Hi, how
hey,
are you?
Tom. I'm well. How are you?
Good.
You What'd said you think? Something for years, and it rang true to me with your question about where this is all going. It's follow the money. You've said that all the time, right? Follow
right.
the money.
Right.
And there's a program that I've glommed onto. It's about three episodes in it called The Swamp. And it features four Republican congressmen. Most all of them are very conservative, and they show what happens in D.C. when the congressmen come to the D.C. They basically are essentially assigned committees based on their fundraising tallies.
Right.
And they their whole job is to fundraise for the Republican Party. Same thing on the Democratic side. It's not one side or the other. Both sides do it. And nothing is done in light of anything other than fundraising. And I think this is the same thing with this whole investigation. It's all immigration. It's all done to boost fundraising on both sides.
I believe
that's what it's all about.
I believe it.
And that's
I just looked this up. Episode one, Meet the Troublemakers, called The Swamp. On.
Yeah. Yeah.
On is it a podcast?
No, it's on Facebook.
On Facebook. Okay, all right.
Anywhere else, so they had to go to Facebook. And it's four episodes.
Oh, this looks this looks interesting. Meet the Troublemakers. They didn't run for Congress to serve other congressmen. They're uncensored. They're tough, and they're ready to shake things up. Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I was
gave up all rights or all control of investment things. So they really are allowing this organization to do this and show real light.
We're right on the edge on your phone there, Mark. But I'm looking at episode 2. Everything comes from the top. Episode 3, dirty money and backroom deals. Episode 4, consequences. I will tell you that on two occasions, people have approached me to run for Congress. And on both occasions, I was honored to be asked, but I started looking into the job of what is it like to be a member of Congress. And the idea of going to work every day and fighting with other people just seemed pretty unattractive to me. But I had a friend of mine who was in Congress, and he told me when exactly what you just said. When you get there, they give you your office. There's your desk. There's your phone. There's a couple of staffers. And the first thing you do is you start calling a list of people to donate money to you. And for the life of me, I handle people's investments for 30 years. I could no problem saying, would you like to open an account with me? Because it was their money and it was in their account with their name on it. I could not ask people to say, just give me money. Well, what for? Just give me money. So I can be a powerful politician. I couldn't do it. And you're exactly right, Mark. That is the job of a congressman. They got to get on the phone. They got 2 years before they're back on the election campaign road again. Thanks for the reference. The Swamp. It's also on CRTV and also on Facebook. I'll check it out. Thanks so much for the call. Short break. We'll be right back.